Welcome to another edition of the Australian DX Report. This is Bob Padgett in Melbourne, Australia, bringing to you our latest roundup of news concerning shortwave broadcasting stations around the world. We include information concerning propagation reports, monitoring information, solar activity news, schedule information, and other items of interest to shortwave monitoring enthusiasts. A reminder that all times we give in these programs are in UTC, also known as GMT, and all frequencies are in kilohertz. Information from the Ionospheric Prediction Service, run by the Australian Government in Sydney, New South Wales and Australia, indicates that solar activity has been represented by a slight increase in levels in recent days. The 10.7 centimetre solar radio flux has increased to 75, that's 7.5, and the daily equivalent smooth sunspot number has increased to 5. And those figures are not expected to change significantly in the days ahead. It means that high frequency broadcasting propagation will continue to be somewhat unreliable on frequencies above about 10 MHz on darkness or semi-darkness paths, but frequencies above 10 MHz or so on daylight circuits will be somewhat more satisfactory. Now, some propagation notes or reception notes made here in Melbourne recently in the 25 metre band. These were between 1700 and 1730. That's the pre-dawn period here in Melbourne, and we note these signals. 11760, the Voice of America from the Biblis, Germany transmitting facility with programs in Kurdish. 11750, the Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation from Trincomalee, that's the relay station there, with programs in Sinhala. 11530, it's right down the bottom end of the 25 metre band, station known as the Voice of Welt. That's a politically based broadcasting station using broken facilities in Issoudun in France with programs in Kurdish. And 11560, All India Radio with programs in Russian. 11810, Radio Romania International, with programs in English to Europe, the Middle East and North Africa. And 11875, China Radio International, with programming in Russian from the Urumqi transmitting station in central China. 11955, Radio Taiwan International, with broadcasts in Russian from the Issoudun relay station in France. And 11975, another frequency for Radio Romania International with programs in Romanian for Europe. 12005, Radio Fardar, broadcasting from the Wolferton relay station in England with programs in Persian. And 12035, the Voice of America station, known as Radio Ashna, broadcasting from the Lampetheim relay station in Germany, with broadcasts in Pashto. So that was a small summary, brief summary of reception conditions noted here in Melbourne recently, in the 25 metre band between 1700 and 1730, and that type of reception should continue in the days ahead, particularly if you are listening to our program from the eastern states of Australia, or the eastern and central parts of Australia. Information now concerning something a little bit different, Beam Wireless. The former high-frequency Beam Wireless transmitting station some 80 kilometres west of Melbourne is located just south of the town of Belan. The 154-hectare site, that's 450 acres, is now used by the Victorian Country Fire Authority for training and hospitality purposes. In April 1927, the facility commenced transmissions as the Australian Transmitting Station for the Australia to England Beam Wireless Service, and was given the name Fiskville in 1933 in honour of its founder, Mr. Fisk. The Beam Wireless Network provided high-speed telegraphy and radio pictures between the United Kingdom and Australia, and the Canadian Blink was added in later years. The receiving station was at Rockbank, about 60 kilometres west of Melbourne, and landline and wireless links were used interconnecting the main offices in Melbourne and Sydney with the transmitting and receiving stations. The Fiskville Centre still has many of the original buildings, which have been preserved and are now used for convention accommodation for visitors. The main entrance is in the form of a high brick archway, with the date of completion 1926 shown prominently in Roman numerals. There is a small bronze plaque outside the entrance commemorating the Beam Wireless Service and advising that the last transmission was on May the 31st, 1916. The Country Fire Authority took over the site in 1971. At its peak, the station had three 25 kilowatt high frequency transmitters with 94 antennas. There were three steel lattice masts, 75 metres high and 195 metres apart, each weighing 50 tonnes. The guy wires were supported by concrete blocks, 30 metres from the base of each tower. The entire antenna structure ran in an east-west direction and supported cross arms of 27 metres in length. The azimuth was about 330 degrees, which was short path to Europe. The same antenna was used at about 120 degrees for long path to Europe. The actual operating frequency was in the 12 MHz region, using some interesting circuit designs. The generator actually produced the carrier at around 12 MHz. There were no crystal control devices or stored program control electronics in those days. The thing was essentially a huge alternating current generator. Historical notes indicate that it had been originally proposed to set up the service on long wave, as had been the practice in Europe and North America at the time, but that was abandoned due to constraints of space and power. The Beam Wireless was one of the first services to exploit high-frequency propagation commercially, as shortwave had been thought to be unsuitable for global communications. The number one transmitter continued in service right up to 1969. At its inception, the station used two 25 kilowatt transmitters with the call signs VIZ and VIY. A third transmitter was added at a later stage, and the station continued broadcasting high-speed telegraphy until its closure in 1969. In later years, it was used also for carrying scanned radio pictures. One transmitter and antenna were used for broadcasting to the United Kingdom, the other for Canada. The English stations were located at Grimsby, that's the transmitter, and Skegness, the receiver. The transmitting station in Canada was at Drummondville and at Yamachiche for the receiver. The Balan station used three towers to support two curtain antennas with reflectors. Each transmitter consisted of a three-stage power amplifier driven by a master oscillator. The transmitters were keyed from a control room in the Melbourne Central Business District here in Victoria via landlines. Transmission speeds of up to 200 words per minute were achieved using automated signalling and controlled by punch tape. Commercial mains power was not connected to the Balan site until 1941, and prior to that, power was generated locally by three 165 horsepower oil engines coupled to direct current dynamos. The Balan station was huge by standards of the day, and the antenna towers were visible up to many kilometres across the surrounding plains. The technology was the best available at the time and was the first commercial exploitation of shortwave long-distance broadcasting. The system was not designed for voice, and it's interesting to recall that the first shortwave voice transmissions from Victoria came later on in 1927 from a transmitter co-located at the site of the original 3LO Leniwave station in the western Melbourne suburb of Braybrook. This transmitter also operated at around 12 megahertz and was very similar in design to the Balan telegraphy station with the addition of a modulator. That transmitter took the call sign VK3ME and continued to operate along with a sister station in Sydney, VK2ME, until the start of World War II when it was taken over by the government. The Amalgamated Wireless of Australia Company, AWA, was responsible for setting up the Balan, Rockbank and Braybrook stations. I visited the author recently, revealed that the concrete blocks are still there, protruding about 1 metre above the ground, and there were still the heavy iron rings attached which were used for guy wires. The original transmitter hall remains and has been extended with office facilities for the CFA. The concrete foundations are in fact now part of the centre's golf course, and there is nothing else remaining of the feeder system of maintenance blocks. Neither was any trace to be found of the steel mast or guys, which is understood was dismantled by the authorities in 1971. So that's a story about the broadcasting station, the Beam Wireless Station, which was located here in Melbourne, and a similar station in Sydney. And that's actually taken from my paper, The History of Shortwave Broadcasting in Australia. That's all the information in our program this time. We hope you found the broadcast interesting and helpful for your shortwave radio monitoring.